Finance Secretary, Bill Northern.
Well, thank you, Mike. Thank you all for spending time here today to deliver a very, very important message. And certainly, Mike, thanks for all your inclusion of the RFS issue on AgriTalk and making sure that sometimes some of the non-farmers out there as well that listen can hear how important this is. And you're delivering the message of how important this is over at the hearing and by being here. So thank you all for being a part of it. I know I've seen lots of folks that have been a part of this industry for a long, long time. Some of you have been 5 or 10 years a part of it. Some of you 15, 20 years a part of it. Some of us all have been working on this industry 30 or 40 years. We've had lots and lots of challenges through those times. We had Clean Air Act amendments, I think, when big oil thought they had killed ethanol. When the tax credits went away, we realized we were ready to stand on our own. And again, they thought they killed ethanol. And there were several steps like that. This is one of those important times again. And what always happened through the years is people rallied, delivered a message. It eventually got heard, and it made a huge difference. And we need to keep doing that, and you all are doing that. Let's make sure that folks back home realize that, get our comments in, and certainly there's no excuse for EPA to walk away and say they didn't hear what rural America felt about renewable fuels for ethanol and biodiesel and how important the RFS was and how they missed this target. You know, y'all have done exactly what this country asked us to do. You made investments. We innovated to the point where that tax credit could go away, and we're still producing ethanol cheaper than the price of gasoline. Even after oil prices come down, we got ethanol E85 out there, in some places selling for 75 cents or $1 a gallon less than our gasoline prices. You've done exactly what was asked. And now we got to do it again. We got to make sure that this limitation, this wall that they're putting up, does not stand. That we knock this thing down and that we get back to the intentions of an RFS, the promise of an RFS, and we can grow this market again. So, again, thank you all for being here. You know, one of the folks that have been a part of this battle and one of the leaders in this battle for a long, long time, and certainly all of us as Iowans, and I think he is well recognized in the ethanol industry and the biodiesel industry around the country. I get the pleasure of introducing our governor, Governor Branstad. What a tremendous leader. Please stand and thank Governor Branstad for all his work for you.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's always great to be introduced by our great Secretary of Agriculture, Bill Northey. He is a great promoter for agriculture, and I'm really proud to be with my friend and colleague, Governor Nixon from Missouri, who's also a great supporter of agriculture and renewable fuels, and his director of agriculture as well. He's a farmer from northern Missouri. So we're proud to be here together, Republicans and Democrats, from the agricultural heartland of America, speaking out to the EPA, don't mess with the RFS. Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds and I met with Gina McCarthy within a month of when she became the head of the EPA at the Iowa State Fair on August 15, 2013, to talk about how important the renewable fuel standard was to the state of Iowa. On that day, the price of corn was $6 a bushel. Today, it's down in Iowa to about $3.45 a bushel, well below the cost of production. We've already seen farmland drop 15% in value, and it continues to decline. USDA is estimating a 32% reduction in farm income this year. So it's a critical time not to go back to the bad old days of the past, and I know how bad it can be because I was governor during the farm crisis of the 80s when land values dropped 63% in Iowa and we closed 38 banks. We've come a long ways. We've diversified the economy. We've added value to what we produce. And I'm really proud to be the governor now of the number one ethanol producing state, the number one biodiesel producing state, and the highest percentage of our electricity generated by wind energy than any other state. And we're proud of the progress we made, and we don't want to go back. You know, big oil likes to put out a lot of misinformation. In 2012, when we had that nationwide drought and corn prices temporarily went way up, they said, oh, it's the price of corn that's driven up the price of food. And the price of corn dropped from over $8 a bushel now to $3.45. What's happened to the price of food? It's gone up, not down. You're exactly right. So the truth of the matter is, just as they told the big lie about MTBE, it's better than ethanol. Use it. And what did they do? We didn't. We were smart enough in the Midwest. We used ethanol. East Coast and the West Coast were bamboozled by big oil. They used MTBE, and what happened? They polluted their groundwater. And then the environmentalists in California went nuts. They couldn't believe it. And that's when, finally, we got the RFS. And the RFS gave us a path to a renewable future. The Congress did something good for a change. And it's worked. Look at the progress we've made. Look what it's done for farm income. Look what it's done for good jobs. Look what it's done to reduce our dependency on foreign oil. And what it's done to improve the environment. Now is not the time to turn back. Now is not the time to reverse the progress. We need to follow the law. We know we can produce it. And frankly, the only thing that's preventing the availability on the East Coast and the West Coast is the monopoly that big oil has on the distribution system. I can't imagine. As we came down, and of course, I'm proud to say that as governor, I said, we want a big fleet of E85 vehicles. So the vehicle we drove down here in today is an E85 thing. Pretty much all of our state vehicles are flexible fuel vehicles. And we filled up in southern Iowa for $1.99 today. And I looked at that same station, what's the price of regular gas? $2.95. Now, I would bet if you're in California and went to buy gas today, and I was out there a few months ago, you're looking at $3.50 and $4 a gallon. Can you imagine if they could buy fuel for $1.99 like we can here? You would, if the consumers and the coast knew the truth about the opportunities that they're missing out on because big oil is blocking access to this great renewable fuel that reduces our dependency on foreign oil and protects the environment, there would be no doubt. We've got to do our part. We've got to educate the EPA. We've got to educate the consumers throughout America. I just want to say thanks for coming. This is a great rally, a great turnout. I love agriculture. I love the honor of serving as governor of this state, and I'm proud to work with a great colleague from Missouri, Governor Nixon, and together, as leaders of this Renewable Fuels Coalition and the governors, we want to do all we can to get your message across. Thank you for being here and showing your support for the Renewable Fuel Standard.
Thank you, Governor. I think the problem in Washington is they're not used to legislation working, and the RFS was working, so they thought they had to go in there and mess with it somehow. We're trying to tell them, leave it alone. Next up, we're very happy to have with us the Missouri Director of Agriculture. Please welcome Richard Fordyce.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning. It's great to be here today with so many agricultural enthusiasts, folks supporting the RFS. This is a great turnout. The hearing, I so appreciated the EPA. Governor Nixon said it just a minute ago, but it would have been better if it had been in Missouri, but this is really close. And so we're really glad to be here and be a part of the hearing. You know, as Director of Agriculture and a farmer from northern Missouri, I recognize firsthand the benefits of biofuels. Reduced gasoline prices for consumers, decreased reliance on foreign oil, and increased confidence where it belongs in America's energy supply. Since biofuels burn cooler and cleaner, reduce smog and carbon monoxide emissions, and they improve the air quality. Nationally, Missouri ranks 6th in soybeans and 7th in corn, and it's those quality feedstocks grown and cultivated by our country's fine farmers that provide the baseline ingredient for our biofuels. Today I have the honor of introducing someone who understands the great strengths and successes of agriculture in our state. From day one, Governor Nixon has been committed to putting the needs of Missouri farm families first. Whether it be an opportunity to grow the beef, hog, or corn industry, or expand exports, our governor understands the importance of this industry and what it takes to move the needle for agriculture. As vice chair of the Governor's Biofuels Coalition, he has worked with his colleagues to launch an aggressive national advanced biofuels research program. And as evidenced today, with his testimony in the hearing earlier this morning, he continues to fight for the passage of an RFS that will keep Missouri's and America's renewable fuels industry thriving. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Missouri's Governor, Governor Jay Nixon.
Thank you, and it's great to see this great crowd. I'm incredibly honored to have the leader of these issues in our country, Governor Branstad, with us today. He's been so much help to not only me, but other folks around the country. I cannot begin to explain how important he is. Also, this is one of those fearful times as a politician. Because I was speaking in Hannibal, Missouri, about a year and a half ago, and there was a bank clock right across from where I was speaking. And he looked out, and it said 5 till 12. And I started talking, and you know, politicians, we can get going sometimes. I mean, we may be governors, but there's not really a speed governor sometimes on how long we talk. And so I went on through noon, and I finished about 5 after. I thought I had 15 or 20 minutes of thing to say, and I was very disciplined getting it done in 10 minutes. But when you read the paper the next day and said the governor came and made a speech and started in the morning and didn't end until the afternoon, you get a little concerned about kind of trying to keep the message tight right around the, once you've had that done to you once. So you can rest well assured my message is going to be clear and short. It is not necessary to explain to anybody here the importance of the facts of why you're here. You know that, or you wouldn't be here. You all know what's at stake. That a few numbers moved around mean thousands of jobs gone, the environment in a worse place, a market bamboozled, difficulty to get investment, and consumers paying more for something that they use each and every day in their lives. And those are not good things. But the uniqueness about this for everybody here, certainly we think that they ought to hit the RFS targets, and we know we can deliver. But it is really kind of fun to come and lecture the EPA about following the law. They spend a heck of a lot of time pointing their finger not only at states, but at every one of you, telling you what to do. All day long. Do this, do that, follow this. Some arcane rule sitting in some book somewhere that they have 75 hearings in front of 14 Senate committees or whatever, and they tell you, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to. All we're asking, very simply, is when this country saw a crisis, and that crisis was not only a fuel crisis, it was a foreign policy crisis. We were being drug around by folks in other parts of the world for something we needed to use each and every day to get to and from work and church and everything we did, the fuel that moves us forward. And we didn't have control over our own destiny. So the country, 20 years ago, we had a national discussion about this. And then in 2005, passed congressional action to say the farmers are going to do their part. They're going to join the risk. They're going to join the responsibility. And then you go 10 years after that to 2015, and where are we? A minimum of 10% of everything that's out there doesn't come from countries away from here. And the only foreign policy they got to deal with is us. So, It's not about whether we're right or wrong. We're right. It's not about whether or not the EPA should follow the law. They should. It's about showing the power of what we got here. Okay? So, that's why it's so important for everybody to be here, but it's incredibly important to follow up. Because while there are some really nice-looking people here, extremely comfortably dressed, we are facing a lobby of shark-skin suit people walking the halls in D.C. That's who we're tussling with. And so I'm not asking everybody to put a tie on like me or get dressed up, but you got to be heard. We got to force amplify. We do that, we can win. I mean, this is one that can be won, too, guys. I mean, and the numbers we're dealing with here, being thousands of jobs across America, fuel prices lower in a better environment, and more investment in a growing biofuels industry. Okay, growing. Okay, really important. The science of 2005 is not the same as the science today. And in order to get the investments we need to continue to get into cellulosic, to continue to make sure we're efficient, to continue to make sure we're getting secondary uses for things, all of that requires a tremendous amount of investment and constant guarantee of where we're going to be. So, I ask you all to continue to press with us, not only here, but back home, to push everybody as best you can. This needs to be done for America. We go backwards, people lose jobs, crops will lose value, land will lose value, and America will become less independent when it comes to something that every American uses each and every day. We did our part. Now it's time for our government to follow the law that we passed. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor Nixon.